what I like about that song is he doesn't say, whatever you're doing that's going to make me feel good. He said, whatever you're doing, as long as you're in it, don't do it without me. That's powerful. That is so powerful. Don't pass by God. Don't pass my church, God. Don't pass me by. Do not pass me by. Whatever. If you got to shake me to wake me, don't look. Don't let me miss this moment. And God's always doing something in the kingdom and something for his children. Romans chapter 4, beginning at verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. Talking about Abraham and his faith. And saying that Abraham is the father of many and all nations. He's the father of us all because of how he believed before he was circumcised. If you read the beginning of Romans 4, they're trying to make the point. He didn't believe because he was circumcised. He believed before he was circumcised. So when he was in the uncircumcision, he still has faith. And God said, because you believe me then, I'm going to do it for you now. Okay, amen. Just want to make sure we gather that together. And he said that he'd be sure to all the seed, to not that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is father of us all. That brings the Gentiles and the Jews in, because what happens here is everybody's included. Everybody's included. Don't let folk mess you up. Talking about Abraham was this and Abraham was that. No, he's the father of us all because of his faith in the uncircumcision. Because it wasn't until he circumcised that God began to do things and change things. See, God made Jewish people. He made them a people. And you know, be careful. We talk about you hate Jewish people, because if you check on the nationality of Jesus, look at verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were. God's got the habit of calling things into existence that are not into existence. Oh, my God. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And be not weak in faith. He considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. And be not weak in faith. Look at verse 20. He staggered not. See, some of us, we're staggering too much. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded, Paul loved that word persuaded, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to also to perform it. What he had promised, he believed that God could deliver it. What God promised, he believed God could perform it. What God promised, he believed God could in fact do it. Oh, my God. And therefore, it was imputed or counted unto him for righteousness. I love verse 23. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. And verse 25, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Today we want to talk about strong in faith. Father, we bless you and we praise you and we honor you. Have your way continuously in your service. Move me out of the way and have your way, God. Don't let the enemy get in here any kind of way, so you can do what you need to do through us and to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Abraham was considered to be strong in faith. How did you get your nickname? How do people know? How do they know what to call you? What's up, Slick? What's happening, Slim? You know, all that kind of stuff. You know, and I knew one guy, when they was fighting, they threw him up against the fence so much. They said, what's up, fence?
From what
you do or from what people know about you, that's how you get your nickname, or that's what they call you. You know, what's up, shake 'em up? You know, all that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? What was your T-bomb you said? T-bone. What's up, T-bone? But Abraham was known to be or called strong in faith. And you know, the Bible says, if I have faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, I can move mountains. I said, God, what is that? He said, because you can have faith and you can have faith. Both of these represent faith. But this person's faith got some dynamite in it. This one's weak in faith. Same faith. But this person believed God beyond the shadow of a doubt. And this person is staggering. That's why some folk are more blessed. Oh my, you're not going to like that. Based on what they believe that God can do. See, while you're waiting for God, I'm experiencing God. While you're waiting for him, he already come to my house. Because I had a spirit of expectation. And I need to let somebody know, he does come to the apartment. He does come to the ghetto. He does come in our neighborhood. Don't look at folks and think because they live high and mighty, they're more blessed than you. See, don't measure by material. Measure by the spiritual. But Abraham was known to be strong in faith. Faith in God and faith in God's word and faith in the promise of God are essential for you and I on this Christian journey. If you don't have faith, you're going to have a rough, tough time. Rough, tough time. You need faith. Faith is a requirement to be in the will of God. Because you got to believe God for what you can't see, but he promises. For we walk by faith and not by sight. As a matter of fact, if you believe in God for something that can't see it, you're in a good position. So that's where faith comes in. God, I believe you. I can't see it. I don't know who's going to give it to me, but I still believe you. When you can say beyond the shadow of a doubt, I believe God, even though I can't see it, you are operating in a thing called faith. And that's what the enemy hates when you operate in faith, because the enemy wants to get in there and say, look, if you can't see it, then why are you believing it? Because God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Faith is not based on whether or not the Christian likes what God is doing in their lives. Faith is based on the fact that he's doing something. I'm glad. God, I might not like what you're doing. I'm just glad you're all up in my life. There's one person I don't mind all up in my business. His name is God. God, you can get all up in my world, all up in my business, because I know you mean me some good. For we walk by faith and not by sight. You got to trust God. You got to know God. As a Christian, your faith needs to be developed and nurtured so we can mature. We used to say that prayer, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord. There's nothing wrong with that prayer, but what you going to do when you get up? You need some faith not only to fall asleep. You need some faith when you get up in the morning. Got to have that same faith in the God that kept you while you slumbered and slept. Is the same guy going to keep you while you're up on your feet trying to make your way through your day? And I don't care what you face. If you got God with you, you keep on pressing. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't throw in the towel. The best is yet to come. God is not through blessing you. I know you've been through a whole lot of stuff, and some of y'all been on the earth longer than I've been on the earth, but guess what? You got a testimony. God has never left you. He has never forsaken you. He has never given up on you, and God still loves you, and you got it all by faith. God did not wrap it all up in some cute little box and leave it on your door when you were 21. He made you walk in faith. And the more God bless you, that's how your faith matures. When you read the Word and take the Word and apply the Word and meditate on God, then your faith begins to mature. Abraham became strong in faith. He was called strong in faith before Jesus came in the flesh. Because he believed God and was counted unto him for righteousness. And God said, if you believe me on today, I'm going to put it on your account for righteousness. One thing Abraham and you and I have in common. Faith. Anybody here seen Jesus? You shouldn't be here. Anybody seen him walking on the earth? Was anybody here when Jesus was walking on the earth? Amen. So you're doing this thing by faith. It's a faith walk. That's why the world looks at you like you're crazy. Why are you believing that? Why do you pray like that? Why do you go to church? Why do you serve God? Why do you magnify his name? Why do you got that Bible? Why are you always quoting scripture? Well, look, it works in my life. I can't figure out to this day why folk mad at me because he works in my life. They get upset with you because you blessed. I can't even entertain that anymore. Because God's working in my life. As a Christian, you must be able to see and believe in the Spirit that which yet has been seen in the natural. You got to see it in the Spirit before God manifests it. Just think about it. Your faith in what God promised you can bring that thing to fruition. So if I flip the coin, I guess the thing that you lack faith in what God promised you, could delay that fruition. Think about that. If I got enough faith to believe God for it, he could bring it to me. If I don't have enough faith, maybe he's going to hold up on it. So I want faith. So I want this thing to unfold. I want my enemies to see that no matter what you say, that no matter what you do, that God's got me. And it's all by faith. Abraham is considered to be someone who was strong in faith. Romans chapter 4 points out that Abraham was justified by faith. Abraham pleased God through his faith. Hebrews 11:6 tells us, but without faith. Anybody know what impossible means? Like, don't even try it. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is rewarder of them that diligently seek him. See, some people call this a radical faith. It's not a radical faith, it's strong faith. It's strong in faith. Not a radical faith. It's radical to us because we don't believe. We got faith. But Abraham had a strong faith. Abraham's faith was imputed or credited to him for righteousness. Look at Romans 4:3. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God and was counted unto him for righteousness. In other words, what the Bible is saying, what Romans is saying, it was just like Jesus was there. It was just like he accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, because through that faith, it was counted unto him for righteousness. How did Abraham strengthen his faith? Well, you look at Genesis chapter 12. Abraham had experience with and a relationship with God. You remember he told him, remember what Pastor Wallace said? He said, you know, he told him, get up, you and your wife go. And he took some folk with him, and some of the folk he took with him gave him the biggest headache. But Abraham believed God. Has God told you to get up and leave something or somebody? And you had to believe God for it? So many times we think when we begin to depend on stuff and depend on people, we believe we can't make it without them. But God said, you got it twisted. I am your source and not your resource. I enable that person to bless you. I enable them to be a blessing to you. They didn't want to be a blessing to you. They couldn't help themselves because I got all up in there. That's how you got that job. They didn't want to hire you. They didn't like the way you look. They saw the anointing on your life and thought you did not fit in. But God stepped all up in there. Sometimes they tell you, I don't know why I'm doing this. Good. Because I do. Hallelujah. Oh, God will work on our behalf. But you got to have faith. Faith to stand in a long line of applicants when there's only one job open. Because God said, get up and go. Go stand in that line. And all the time you stand in that line, you look at that like, God, I know all the, I know some of these people. Anybody ever play themselves down? I know some of these people more qualified than me. Look at her. She got her degree in a leather portfolio. They're not looking at the leather portfolio. They want to see what's in it. But see, when you got the grace of God, when you got faith, everybody standing around you complaining. Oh, I know they ain't going to take me. I ain't going to say that. I'm not talking myself out of no blessing. If I say to myself I'm not worthy, I'll finish it up. By the blood of Jesus, I am. You got to talk to yourself. By the blood, I know I'm nothing, but with Jesus, I'm everything. You got to talk to yourself. And it's by faith. You stand in line and people coming out smiling like they got the job. Okay. All right. You just putting on. A lot of us know how to put on. Yeah, I got that baby sewed up. Okay. Well, God can be unsewed that baby, okay? They ain't seen me yet. Oh, you got to talk to yourself. I'm not being overconfident or cocky to say, well, God said, I'm going to bless you. God said, get up, go get your blessing. The thing about go get your blessing, when you get there, it may not look like a blessing. It may look like a messing. But God's not true. He wants to see if you had enough faith in him to get up out of the bed, wash your face, get dressed, and go stand in line. Oh, my. But God's been so good. Some of us, we've been so blessed so easy, we don't want to go through nothing. God's taking care of a lot of us. We've been tremendously blessed with no effort. But every now and then God said, I'm going to stretch you. I'm going to stretch you. I'm going to see if you're strong in faith. I'm going to stretch you. I'm going to tell you to do something that I'm not even going to allow you to see not one bit of it. I'm going to put you through something like Job, and you're not even going to know why. Because when you check your background, you didn't do anything wrong. But because you belong to me, I have the right to use you in any way that I want to. God, what do you mean you have the right to use? Because every time I bless you, you never complain. You never said nothing back to heaven. Now I want to use you. Now you got some issues with me being your God. As long as I'm your lollipop daddy, it's fine. But as soon as I need to use you, somebody going through something now, you don't have no idea. You say, God, this ain't nothing, got nothing to do with church, ain't got nothing to do with your spirit. This is ridiculous. And you didn't even see it coming. Because guess what? It ain't your fault. God just wanted to let the enemy know that came to visit him. Have you seen your daughter so-and-so? Have you seen your son so-and-so? The only reason they come to church and worship you is because you gave them a beautiful voice and you gave them a nice car and a nice house and a nice job. That's the only reason. And God said, no, it ain't. Go ahead and do what you need to do, say, but you can't touch their life because their life is here with Christ in God. Their life belongs to me. And something begins to happen in your life, and you say, oh, my God. And then your friends come and say, uh-uh, that's why I don't go to church. That's why I don't go to church, so you're a phony. Ain't no way God going to let all that stuff happen to you if you was for real. You a phony. That's why I never come to your church. I never joined church. I don't have nothing to do with God. But when they came back, after you decided that you weren't going to give up, after you went to your pity party, after you told God, God, what are you doing in my life? I'm this and I'm that. God, where were you when I made the sky quit? But after you held on by faith, where were your friends then? And then he made Job bless his friends before he blessed. You got to have faith to bless those that talked about you and put the foot all on your neck and kick you all in your back and spit all on you and went and told your other friends, look at him now. Look at Deacon Job. Look at Pastor Job. Look at Reverend Job now. He all messed up. He ain't got squat. Please be patient with me. God is not through with me yet. So in other words, I'm not trying to hear your chitter chatter. I'm trying to hear the voice of the Lord. And if I got to be out of commission for a minute, that's all right. I'm going to give me some sackcloth and give me some ashes, and I'm going to wait on the Lord. By the time God got there, enemy ain't know what to say. I think Job, if I had the opportunity, would probably thinking, who wouldn't serve a God like this? And sometimes you go through stuff, and we read earlier, be of good cheer. I have overcome. Faith says whatever God promised in his Bible is yours.
faith also said, whatever the Holy Spirit spoke in your ear while you were praying in your closet is yours. Faith says whatever God told you on your way to work, it is in fact yours. Now get the spirit of expectation and prepare. If God says he's going to give you a bigger house, go look at different furniture. Come on. What's wrong with you? Go look at the lamps you want. Be like me. I go in the store. Can I help you? No, I'm just looking. I'm just looking. And you look like you got it so much, they keep asking you, can I help you? If you need some help, my name is Thomas. Because by faith, you see that. You see it in the room you want it in. That's how you go. When you go shopping for your car, just go look around. They come running out on the lot. These are Mercedes. Yeah. And God's my father. Did you say something smart? Oh, my God. That's all by faith. But you got to hear God. But see, I can only hear God for the good stuff. I got to hear God for the downtime. God said, I'm sitting you down for a minute because I want to speak to you. I'm sitting you down because you got too busy. You got too carried away. I'm going to take you through something so you can get something else. And when we begin to thank God for where we are and thank God for what we have, God begins to speak. When you start complaining every day of your life, I don't have this and I don't have that, God stopped, told me to tell somebody, guess what? The fact that you realize what you don't have is an act of my grace. Because that gives you a spirit of expectation of wanting something different. Since you know I'm your daddy, now your expectation went up. And because I'm your father, your value went up and the enemy's trying to get you. I want to take you through something so you can build up your faith, so you can fight against the wiles of the devil. God, sometimes I want you to be strong in faith. I don't mind you having money. I don't mind you having nice stuff. But I need to be strong in faith. Because that what you think you have, I got greater things for you. I told my wife this morning, I didn't get to the fifth grade until I finished the fourth grade. You got to finish where you are before you go to the next step. Stop running around talking about next level when you haven't even finished the level you are. When you play those video games, if you don't finish the previous level, you can't move on. It won't pop up on the screen, baby. God ain't popping up nothing on your spiritual screen until you have finished the level that you're on. Have you mastered that level? Have you learned every lesson on that level? Have you gone through every module? And some of those kids are good. They'd be like, I don't want to learn from no kid. They show you up. I want to learn from an adult like me. Somebody that's slow and his dexterity's all messed up. I do not want to be embarrassed. I've been trying to do homework. I asked Delaney and Dougie something. They kind of calmed down. They'd be like, oh, daddy and mother, Jesus. Just press the button. They're a little better now. They feel sorry for us. But they do help us. And I'll be thinking, the struggle is over. It's funny when somebody helps you, you act like you can't do nothing. When they come help me, you going to type this up for me? You know, when people help you, you act like you can't do nothing. You're going to do what you're going to do, but all you needed was that one thing. But after they hanging around a little bit, you'd be like, I'm going to use it while I got them. But God wants to be strong in faith because there's some things that he promised you, promised me, and promised the church. And together, we're going to get those things. And when you get yours, I'm not mad at you. I'm not jealous of you. I'm not envious. I'm praising God. For you, my brother, you, my sister in Christ. And if God can bless you, he can bless me. If I ask you how you got it, you say, look, I'm strong in faith. I know what I need to do. I need to strengthen my faith. And I don't need to strengthen my faith like you strengthen your faith because you got something different from him. I need something different from him. I got to strengthen my faith the way God will be strengthening my faith so I can get from him what I need. And then I got to believe God for it when it don't look like it. More of us believe the weatherman to get an umbrella than believe God. I'm serious about that. Think about it. It's going to rain. I forgot my umbrella. Go all the way back home. Mr. Charlie. Oh, I forgot my umbrella. Missed the try. God said it's going to rain. It ain't rained for a long time.
What is it about Abraham? He straightened his face because he believed God. He had experience with God. You and I straighten our face because we have experience with God. We can read the Word of God, apply the Word of God to our lives. Study God's Word. Read God's Word every day. Do not let a day go by without reading God's Word. Hey, look, if you got a precious Sunday Bible, get your Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday Bible. If you don't want to touch a Sunday Bible. Amen. Bless the Lord. You need God's Word, because heaven and earth shall pass away, but God's Word shall stand. Your faith comes from knowing God's Word, and you have experience with God. God has blessed you. There's some things you didn't believe God for, and God gave them to you because He wanted to strengthen your faith in Him. And that's powerful, because we think it works like that all the time. God said, no, I gave you that to strengthen your faith. Now, if you think you'll keep on getting everything from me the same way, it's not going to happen. Because there is an elevation to this thing. Because God said, now that you can handle this, I can trust you with something else. Because whoever has a little faith of a little, I'll make it rule over much. So take that little bit you got, stop complaining about it, and make it be faithful over that. Amen. I can't give you no money. I can't tithe. God said, watch me. Be faithful over what I've given you. God, I can't use my gift. If I start singing, they're going to start talking about me. Be faithful. Use your gift. And it's not because you got a bad voice. You're just lazy. But if somebody was to pay you some money for singing, you'd be, oh, yeah. Oh, Father, I can't count no money in the church. I'm a tax accountant all week. But if somebody said, I'll pay you so much every Sunday to count the money, oh, yes. I have an MBA. See how we do? We take the gifts we use all week to make money, and then on Sunday, we don't want to use that gift. There's a lot of gifted people in this church, but they don't want to use it on Sunday.
That's my time, Pastor. You don't understand. I need a break. Yeah, break out of your gift.
I'm begging folks to teach Sunday school and looking for this one, looking for that one. And God, there's so many gifts up in here. Just open that thing up and walk by faith. You don't have to come in knowing everything. Just start out. If you take one step, make a step. I dare you make a step towards God. When you leave here today, whatever God promised, I dare you make a step towards it. God called me to preach. Oh, no, I can't be sitting around studying the Word all day. Why not? You sit around watching TV, reading newspaper, and watching all that other stuff. You got time. You just don't want to use it for God. Oh, my. Let me move on. Some folks said, Pastor, it is after one. Well, we did have communion. Give me a couple breaks, will you? But number one, what is it about Abraham? He against hope, he believed hope. What does that mean? That when God promised him that he would be the father of many nations, he didn't have one child. Come on, somebody. So he was hoping in that. So whatever else God promised him, he put that hope against that hope. He hoped against hope. He ain't got a thing yet. But hope against hope. He put faith on top of faith. Against hope in Romans 4:18, he believed in hope. All he had already hoped for, it hadn't come to fruition yet, but he pressed against that hope. Press on your faith. God, before you promised me this, I did not think I had enough faith to trust you. But I'm going to press the faith that I have against the faith I need. Oh, my God. And when you press two things together, there is an intensity that takes place. So Abraham hoped. Against hope, he believed in hope. What hadn't promised, what hadn't been fulfilled and been promised, he still believed God for it. Wow. Against hope, he believed in hope. That he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Whatever God spoke to you, got to get to the point to stop calling God a liar. How do we call God a liar? By walking away like you don't believe what he told you. You might not say, out of your mouth verbally, but when you walk away and don't believe what God told you, you say, God, I don't think you could do it, man.
You're not saying you don't have enough faith. You walk away talking about, God ain't going to do that for me. Why do you want to put that on God?
So number one, he believed against hope. He believed in hope. Number two, look, he staggered not at the promise. Look at verse 19. And being not weak in faith, but strong in faith. I was reading this. I think about Minister Mitch and Do Something Ministries. You got to see it,
even if it don't look like it's going to be there. We talk sometimes about that stuff. You got to see that thing. You can't just let it go. You can't let your dream go. You got to hold on to your dream. Hold on to your vision. Because look at this thing. It says 19.
And being not weak in faith. You can't be weak in faith. He considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. And look at verse 20. He did not what? He did not stagger at the promise. So number one, against hope, he believed hope. Number two, he staggered. He did not waver at the promise. Stagger means to move unsteadily with a swaying motion like you're drunk. Can't get your footing. Can't get your grounding. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. And that's what the verse says, giving glory to God.
He was strong in faith, and it gave glory to God.
See, when you're strong in faith, God gets the glory. When you're strong in faith, heaven starts shouting. When you're strong in faith, God said, that's my child. Joe's my child. She's my child. He's my child. She's my child. The windows of heaven? Strong in faith. So number one, against hope, he believed hope. Number two, he staggered out at the promise. And then look at verse 21. He was fully persuaded that what God had promised him, that God was able to perform it.
We get so mad at our relatives and friends because they don't fulfill the promises that they made to us. But here is God, who is more than good for the promise, and we don't even believe him.
He was fully persuaded that God, the God who promised him, was able to produce it and perform it. Stop looking at yourself talking about, nah, I can't do that. With God, all things are possible. I don't deserve that, but by the blood of Jesus, oh yes, you do.
See, you got to remember when Jesus went to the cross, nobody did our sins, all that stuff, he buried that stuff in the grave. Why do you and I keep going to Calvary picking up dead stuff?
Leave it alone and live your life. Move forward. I don't care what the folk are saying about you. Hey, that's the old you. You no longer have to respond to the old you, because the new you, if any person be in Christ, he's a new creation. I don't care what you remember about me. Those were the before days, and now I'm about to come out and do what God has called me to do. Don't worry about who likes you. They didn't promise you.
Oh, my God. Your promise is not based on what everybody else does. It's based on what God says.
Oh, let me move on. He was fully persuaded that what God promised, he was able to perform it, strong in faith. And verse 22, therefore it was imputed unto him for righteousness. See, faith. You believe God, God calls it righteousness. And he puts it on your account. Can't nobody steal your faith? It's on your account with your name on it.
God said, they believe me for this, I'm going to do this for them. They believe me for greater things, I'm going to put greater things in their lives.
Look at verse 23. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also. My God. Hello. It wasn't just written for Abraham. It's written for you and for me. And we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. And then verse 25 goes into who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. I said, Lord, why did you write it like that? He said, because everything that was in the way, I took out of the way through Jesus. So you can believe me by faith. Stop having the stuff, your past, blind your future and blind your present. Stop talking about what you used to be and what you used to do. God has delivered you from all that through the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So now you can have the faith that you need to go forward in him. Don't bring extra burdens to church. Whatever you've been delivered from, put it in the trash can and watch the trash man take it away. And when they start talking trash to you, I don't know what you're talking about.
There is no evidence of what thou talkest about. I mean, get real deep on, get real spiritual on them. Thou talkest foolishness. There is no evidence or trace of what thou talkest about. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. You know, just get all deep on them. The blood of the Lamb. That sounds good, don't it? Talking about speaking tongues up on here, yeah. Abraham was strong in faith. It didn't happen overnight. But it started with who he believed in. He believed in the one and true God. There were other gods and idols available to Abraham, but he wasn't trying to play that game anymore. God had been too good to him. He believed God, and God counted on them for right. Abraham made a choice, the right choice. And now you and I have the same opportunity to make a choice. We're going to end up in John chapter 11, because you know why? Because a strong faith can become an even now faith. Even now means after all that stuff you've been through, even now God can still bless you. After all the names that have called you, and everybody told you you wasn't going to be nothing. Anybody know the story of Lazarus and Mary and Martha? And Lazarus died, and they sent a message to Jesus that the one that thou lovest is sick unto death. And he said, I'm going to hang out here a couple more days. That was deep, because when he finally got there, Lazarus was dead, wrapped up, and in the grave. So he asked Mary and Martha, he said, show me where you laid him. But Mary and Martha got mad. You haven't been here? My brother would not have died. Look at verse 21, 11, 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Look at verse 22. But I know. What's those next three words? That's an even down kind of faith. That after things have already happened, God still has a blessing. See, there's a silver lining in every cloud over our lives. See, he told her, but she said, even now. Martha said, even now. How about Mary would say, even now? Mary was the one at Jesus' feet. Martha was the one frying chicken. Whoa. But look at this. But I know that even now. Some people call it radical faith. Some people stronger faith. This is even now faith. Even now, whatsoever thou will ask of God, God will give it thee. But in between verse 22 and verse 40, things got shaky. Because in 39, Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha said, oh Lord, he's stinking. I heard Jake say, let it stink. Because God going to put something sweet on it. If you just let him move that stone. Let it stay. And see, by the time they got to verse 39, he said, take away his own mother, the sister of him that was there, said the Lord, by this time. But in 22, she had an even now kind of faith. I didn't come to let somebody know that in between you proclaiming you got faith and get your blessing, there's some rocky times in there. But Jesus will remind you to remain strong in faith. You might be working 14 jobs now, but remain strong. Oh my God. You might not have a house right now, but remain strong in you. It's a rocky time in between proclaiming that thing and waiting for your blessing. Mother Constance is all right. Faith for the journey. You got to be strong in faith. My God. Think about that. She said, he's thinking, for he has been dead for a day. Look at verse 40. Jesus said unto her, what did he say in verse 40? Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest what? Thou shouldest what? I just stop by to let somebody know today, if thou wouldest believe, thou should see the glory of God in your life, in the life of your family, in the life of your neighbor, in the life of your church, in the life of your friends, even now, faith. In between proclaiming that you got enough faith and getting your blessing, it's a rocky time. But guess what? Jesus don't mind reminding us. Because he knows our frames of dust. He knows just how much we can bear. But Jesus said, if you would just let me roll the stone away on your unbelief. That stone represented their they closed off some stuff. That stone closed in their unbelief. Jesus said, let me get to your unbelief part. Because you said even now. And I heard that. and my word won't come back void. You got to roll that stone away because my word is still hovering around the grave of Lazarus.
God is telling somebody, when you open the doors of the church, you've been wrapped in grave clothes long enough. Everybody else thinks you're stinking. God said, let me get to you. You'll walk out in grave clothes, and the folk talk about you're going to have to loose you. Let us all stand. Strong in faith, strong in faith, strong in faith, strong in faith.
You're going to make it and look like they weren't going to blossom. They look like they weren't going to bring forth no fruit.